Hallelujah. There is no God like Jehovah. Hallelujah. Amen. What we're feeling around here tonight is the earnest, the apostle wrote, of what is to come. And all the glory that they were singing about. Amen. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great when we get over there. Hallelujah. Amen. But God's got great plans and great, great purpose and great designs for us in this place tonight. He wants you to get a little taste of what's going to come. I said he wants us to have a taste of what's to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There truly is no God like Jehovah. Amen. Are you thankful for what you have felt in this service already tonight? Hallelujah. Are you thankful for what the Lord has already been doing in this place tonight? Hallelujah. Nothing else. Nothing else compares to what we are feeling in this place tonight. And truly, I am grateful. Grateful to this church family for being so ready to worship. I could feel the Holy Ghost from the very beginning of the service. I don't know what the prayer service was like. Amen. Because I wasn't in here, but I came in here when the sanctuary was filled with the praises of Almighty God. Amen. It sure felt good in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. This is what a Pentecostal church ought to feel like when they come to church. Hallelujah. This is what it ought to be like when God, amen, meets with his people. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Anybody know that passage? Hallelujah. Amen. Should be a familiar passage. I want to talk a little bit about Pentecost tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 through 4 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come." Everybody say, "Fully come." When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Everybody say, "A sound." From heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them. Everybody say, "Appeared." Huh. Interesting. "Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak." Everybody say, "Speak." Speak. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Tonight I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, five senses of Pentecost. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight that Pentecost is very real. Hallelujah. I said it's real. It's real. Amen. This isn't some knockoff rendition of Christianity. Amen. This is the original ordeal. Amen. You're experiencing with your own five senses, amen, Pentecost tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's lay down our Bibles and ask the Lord to help us before we leave this place. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for what we are feeling in this place tonight. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this house tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Hallelujah. Come on, let's magnify the Lord right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, man, you can be seated. I don't plan to be very long, although I tend to say that, and usually the opposite happens. Amen. That is not intentional. I am not lying. I am just stating a goal, and some goals we meet, and some goals we don't. Hallelujah. But tonight, I think we're going to get pretty close. Amen. Because the Lord, the Holy Ghost, has already done a lot of my preaching for me. Hallelujah. I was so thrilled, amen, to look around and see, amen, all these children praying for the gift of the Holy Ghost tonight. And in fact, I was standing back there by the light switches, and I wrote down this statement. It said, let the children come. They are a sign of a genuine move of the Holy Ghost. And no sooner did I write those words, I looked up and I saw Brother Jax and Brother Jaden praying for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's no greater authorization of the work of God, amen, than what happened for Jesus and the disciples to happen in a Pentecostal church. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't tell the children to sit down when they begin to pray. Don't pull them back. Don't hold them back. Let them get the full experience. Let them get a taste of what it's like to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I think more than just those children need a taste of it. Amen. I hope that every one of us under the sound of my voice tonight, amen, get a full Pentecostal experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no greater joy. There's no greater feeling. There's no greater experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can just sit there, amen, and watch while the rest of us get our fill. Amen. Because God is in this house. Amen. He wants to fill everyone in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do come, amen, with one concern. You can be seated just for a moment. Amen. Thank you for being so sensitive and responsive. Amen. Let's keep this spirit of worship. Let's keep this sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if we do, if we stay in one mind and we stay in this same vein, this same accord, there's no telling what the Holy Ghost would do in this place. Say, well, but there goes Brother Jared. Amen. Sunday night. Amen. He's getting a little excited. Yeah, you bet I'm excited. Amen. There's no telling what God can do. I'm talking healings, victory, deliverance, infilling of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Starting to feel like a Pentecostal church around here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to wait until the last day for him to come riding on a cloud of glory. Amen. He can show up in a service. Amen. On a Sunday night. Hallelujah. In fact, I go as far to say as I feel his presence. Amen. In this place tonight. Hallelujah. 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 One concern, amen, that I have in today's, amen, society and my, perhaps among my contemporaries, folks my age, 30 years and younger, amen, I'm concerned, Pastor. I'm gravely concerned, amen, because, amen, their senses, amen, are overwhelmed. I think I've mentioned this in the past, amen, just in passing, but this is really what's got me burdened today, amen, is on, amen, as I'm praying, I wonder how many young people in this place, amen, has ever experienced the fullness of Pentecost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Brother Jax, I believe God's got a special promise for you, amen, tonight. Amen, the full deal. Amen, no knockoff. Brother Jaden, wherever you are, if you keep on seeking God, he's got the full package. Brother Hall can tell you, amen, what it's like, amen, to have a life totally changed, totally rearranged, totally reorganized, amen, by a mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young people, it's up to us not to let that experience die, amen, with that generation. Moms and dads, it's up to you, amen, to instill this in your children. Bring them to an apostolic service like this. Amen. Let them experience. Let them watch with their eyes. Amen. Their mama and their daddy. Amen. Worshiping and magnifying God. Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to be telling them like the psalmist. Hey, baby, taste and see that my Lord is good. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hey man, that's what this world needs. When I think of the word experience, I think of every one of those senses, all five: sight, smell, feeling, taste, amen, and sound. I don't want just a partial experience. And let me just tell you, we don't have to settle for a partial experience. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before you leave this house tonight, if you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can leave full. Full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. The psalmist wrote about a God that he had personally experienced. Amen. He had developed a relationship with this God. Amen. In Psalm 34:8, I quoted it a moment ago. Amen. But he told, amen, his readers, those who are singing or listening to his song, to taste and to see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you trust him? We were just singing about it. Amen. Do you believe him? Amen. Can you testify of how good God is? Hallelujah. If you've got a testimony, I wonder why you sit down. I wonder why, when the Spirit of God comes to visit you again, why are we quiet? Why are we scared? Why are we intimidated? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Taste, taste. That's the first one, by the way, if you haven't caught on yet. Taste. You can taste the goodness of God. This is a part of experiencing God. Hallelujah. Friend, if you haven't tasted of God's goodness, you're missing out. There is so much, amen, for you to get experience with. You ought to pray, amen, until God shows up in your life, amen, and gives you a miracle, gives you an answer, gives you direction, so that you can tell your neighbor, you can tell your coworker, say, hey, did you hear what God did for me? Hallelujah. Taste, taste, taste and see. The Bible in several places makes I'm not going to slow too far down, but I want you to see scripturally, amen, these five senses being fulfilled at Pentecost. Amen. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4 tells us, amen, this is Jesus speaking. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you want to taste of how mighty God is, you ought to break open this black book, amen, and get a taste. You ought to come to church on a Sunday morning when Bishop is breaking forth the bread of life. Get a taste. Hallelujah. Get a little taste of it. Amen. Get a little taste of what God is doing. Amen. Jesus himself, Bible says, amen, is the bread of life. John chapter 1 verse 14, Bible says, the word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Amen. Speaking of Jesus, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in chapter 6 verse 35, the Bible says that Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. The word of God, amen, is the bread of life. Amen. And it tastes so good. Amen. The second sense I want to point out to you tonight is very close. Amen. It's not close in terms of senses, but it's close in terms of relevance. And that is sound, or sound speech, as the apostle writes, or a certain sound. Amen. From the word of God, which is our foundation. Amen. The apostle wrote in one epistle that the apostles and the prophets are a part of the foundation. And Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Amen. So from our foundation, from the bread of life, amen, we get a certain sound. Amen. A man of God can stand behind a pulpit under the unction of the Holy Ghost and declare a certain sound. Amen. Paul admonished Timothy and Titus to speak with a speech of soundness. Hallelujah, a sound speech. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6 tells us, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you," this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, "speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you?" Amen. We'll get to tongues in just a moment. That's a part of Pentecost too. Amen. But Paul's telling the church, he said, hey, if I come and I'm just speaking in an unknown tongue, amen, if all I'm doing is just speaking in tongues and I'm always just doing that, amen, how am I going to profit you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine." Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight that one of the five senses of Pentecost is sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Amen. Verse 7, he goes on to say, "And even things without life give sound." Amen. You can mimic it. There are things that, and he gives two examples. He says pipe or harp. Amen. "Except they give a distinction in their sounds, how shall it be known?" Amen. The thing that distinguishes the apostolic, the Pentecostal church, the second sense that I'm talking to you tonight about, amen, from the rest of the church world is whether or not it is distinct or it is certain. It's got to be different. Amen. It's got to be sound. Amen. That's what Paul is telling this church. How shall it be known? Amen. What is piped or harped? "For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" How can we know unless it's a certain sound? Amen. There's many scriptures in the Bible, amen, that exemplifies, amen, the soundness of biblical doctrine. Romans chapter 10 verse 14 says, "How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Amen. 2 Timothy 4 and 3 says, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." Amen. In 2 Timothy 1 and 13, he says, "Hold fast the form of sound words." Hallelujah. You need to get a preacher, amen, that preaches sound doctrine. You need to get a pastor that preaches sound doctrine, amen, where you can find it in your own Bible, amen, that you're not appealing to, amen, authority, amen, you're not appealing to, amen, well, that's what they say, that's what they believe, amen, but I believe it because my preacher preaches what I believe. It's sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Titus 1 and 9 says, amen, "Holding fast the faithful words as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." If you got sound doctrine, friend, you can convince your coworkers. If you got sound doctrine, amen, then you can convince your neighbor. The uncle at the family reunion, when they start asking those pointed questions, amen, what you need is sound doctrine. Hallelujah. This is a part of that Pentecostal experience that I was talking about. Amen. One of the five senses. Finally, in Titus chapter 2, verse 8, Paul wrote to his young preacher boy, and he said, "Sound speech that cannot be condemned." Amen. Titus, if you're going to get behind the pulpit, you need to preach with sound speech. Amen. Don't beat around the bush. Amen. Don't come, amen, with a hesitancy. Amen. But get a word from God and preach with sound doctrine. Hallelujah. Amen. Another sound you'll hear around Pentecost, amen, is what Paul mentioned in his letter to the Corinthian church that I mentioned that we would get to. Amen. So now we're going to get to it. Amen. Speaking in tongues. Maybe every now and then you'll catch a brother or a sister around the true church, amen, speaking, amen, in a language that doesn't sound like English. And the reason for that is because it's not English. It's not English. Amen. It's a sound. Amen. A sound that was talked about in the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 8. Bishop quoted this scripture, read this scripture this morning. Amen. I want to read it again tonight. It says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Amen. That sound that you hear. Amen. That speaking in tongues. That foreign sound that you're hearing to. Amen. In this service tonight. Amen. Is a testimony of those who have been born of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is a sound. Acts chapter 2, verse 2. We read this in our text. I want to read it again. It says, suddenly there came a sound. Sound from heaven. Amen. Church. Amen. If we get too concerned, if we get too worried about what that might sound like, what that might sound like to our guests that come into this church, amen, we're going to lose a monumental part of what is necessary for Pentecost. Hallelujah. I hope I'm not losing everybody tonight. I hope that I don't lose my whole, the whole bandwagon. Amen. Can you ride with me just for a little bit more? Amen. I believe the Lord wants to do something tonight. Amen. But I want to point you to all of these opportunities, all of these individual experiences that are necessary for Pentecost. Hallelujah. As a result of the sound that came from heaven, rushing mighty wind, it filled the house where they were sitting. Verse 4, it goes on to say that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was sound. There was sound. Amen. Not only do we have sound, and not only do we have a taste around Pentecost. Amen. There is a certain appearance. We read it in our text again tonight in verse 3 of Acts chapter 2. If you don't mind putting that on the wall. Amen. I will read that again for you. It says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not only does a sound accompany, amen, a visitation of the Holy Ghost, amen, but there is a unique experience. There's a unique appearance that should be associated with the move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. There may be some in this room tonight who have been a part of those services where a manifestation, amen, almost indescribable. Amen. You can only long for those times until it happens again. Amen. I can describe for you one time I was in Colorado Springs at a church, at a youth conference. It was a Friday night. Brother White had just finished his second message. Amen. And there was a move of the Holy Ghost that settled into that place. And for the first time, Brother Nelson, I'm not trying to be hocus pocus or anything spooky here tonight, amen, but for the first time, I looked into the ceiling, into the rafters of that beautiful white building, and I saw a blue haze. It was a physical manifestation that could be seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I'm not trying this, you know, I'm not trying to say that it was a special situation, but I'm not saying, amen, that my experience is better than yours because I saw the blue haze and you didn't. Hallelujah. Amen. But for these Pentecostals on the day of Pentecost, Bible tells us that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. I heard another story. I wasn't there, but I heard one preacher talk about, amen, when they were having a Pentecostal service, that on the top of the building, amen, folks, I believe that they had called the fire department, amen, because they had witnessed on the top of that building a flame. Sounds Pentecostal to me. Now, that isn't necessarily what we're after, but these are just experiences that are a part of the whole thing. Hallelujah. I hope, Pastor, amen, that the generation that taught me doesn't leave, amen, until my generation gets an opportunity, amen, to experience what I'm talking about. Young people, amen, if you are content with your little patty cake church, amen, I want you to understand that there's more than that. There's a better experience than going home and building a world in Minecraft and building a world on your computer or on your video games. It's something that has way more power. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be proud of those things. Amen. That's wonderful. I'm glad you have a good time, but there's something that tastes so much better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Your iPad can give you a lot of fun games and a lot of good videos and a lot of good information. Amen. But listen to me. There's nothing that will ever outshine the glory of God. And it's available to you if you're willing to spend the time that you spend on that iPad. If you're willing to spend the time that you spend in your game room. Hallelujah. Don't be content with just leaving all that at church. Hallelujah. Take it into your room with you. Hallelujah. I remember Elder Morton was telling a story, amen, about him as a young boy when he got right into church, and right after he got into church, and his mom and dad would tell him to go to his room and go to bed. So he went to his room and went to bed, but he did not go to sleep. You know what he was doing? He got under his covers, and he cracked open his Bible, and he started reading his Bible. Hallelujah. I can't say that I was ever that spiritual. I wish I was. I wish I could give you that testimony, but I certainly wasn't. If there's hope for me, there's hope for you. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'm telling you, what you're going to get in the pages of God's Word is so much more real. The experience is so much better. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. So there appeared unto those Pentecostals in the book of Acts a cloven tongues like as of fire set upon them. There was a visible manifestation of God's glory in that service. Amen. I believe that God wants to continue to do that today. Not so we can just pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, what kind of church was that? But so he can get the attention of this city, of this community, of those that are hungry, those that are interested, those that are searching. Amen. God can say, hey, I've got the power. I preach to the young people. Maybe I can preach to the parents for a moment. Amen. And to myself. We ought to take the responsibility of making sure that glory is here every service. Hallelujah. Amen. If God's glory, amen, just comes and goes. Amen. While we were experiencing it a few moments ago, thank you to the moms and dads and brothers and sisters that were willing to stop. Amen. And pray with a few young people and a few brothers and sisters, because that's what brings the glory of God. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, they were waiting in obedience to Jesus' command. They were sent to Jerusalem. Amen. Until they were endued with power. Hallelujah. What do you think they were doing, Sister Lydia? What were they doing in Jerusalem? Anybody know? They were waiting. They were waiting. And what were they doing while they were waiting? They were praying. They were praying. What were they praying for? God, send that promise. Jesus said that you would give to us a promise. And it wasn't just a Thursday night prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Remember, those moms and those dads were saying, I'm not leaving until I get what I came for. Hallelujah. Amen. Happened to get on in Azusa Street. Amen. I was listening to a man preach a couple of days ago on tape, and he was talking about, amen, how when Jesus walked around, you could see it through Jesus' ministry. Every time that he began to speak, amen, he would wait. He would wait until the Father gave him inspiration. Hallelujah. I wonder what would happen in a Pentecostal church if we didn't just let our tongues fly, but that we would wait until God gave us inspiration. Oh, well, Brother Hilton just went off the deep end right there. That would make things awkward. Yeah, we're used to clapping our hands and singing those songs. We're used to going in the altar and praying for yeah, we're used to that, but I'm talking about Pentecost. Hallelujah. Okay, well, I'll move on to the next point then. Amen. Not only do we see physical manifestations of God's glory in Pentecost, but there is also some other things that you would see around a Pentecostal church. Amen. Paul wrote to Timothy, amen, who was instructing his own church. He said in 1 Timothy 2:8, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everywhere you look, amen, there's a brother on his knees. Everywhere you look, amen, there's a sister lifting her hands. Hallelujah. They're not looking around. They're not playing with the kids. They're not fumbling with the food. They're not fumbling with their iPad. They are praying everywhere. Men praying everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, in like manner also, amen, that women adorn themselves. This is another thing that you'll see at a Pentecostal church. You'll see women, amen, and by extension men too, amen, adorning themselves in modest apparel. Shamefacedness, that means humility and sobriety, not with braided hair, amen, or gold or pearls or costly array. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Hallelujah. 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 Hebrews chapter 12 and 14 tells us, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. What you're going to see around a Pentecostal church, amen, is men and women in modest apparel. You're going to hear and see men and women praying to Almighty God, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. Praying bold prayers of faith. Amen. Believing that God's going to answer. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. Amen. A church that has all five senses of Pentecost. Hallelujah. If you think I went off on the deep end on that last one, you, boy, just strap in. We're going to talk about smell. Did you know there's a certain smell about Pentecost? You know that? Now, I'm not talking about your cologne or your perfume or the lack thereof. And the Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Did you know that every victory you win, every victory that you have is given to you by God? And because of his gift, because, amen, the fact that he was willing to give to you the triumph, thanks is due unto him. He deserves worship and glory and adoration because of the triumph. That's what Paul is telling Corinth. He says, thanks be unto God that gives us the triumph. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So what does that have to do with smell? Keep reading. Verse 14 goes on to say, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You notice that word savor? Savor, that's not like a savory taste. That's a sweet smell. Because of the triumph that comes, and because of our gratitude for that triumph, God also makes manifest that smell, that aroma, that sweet savor. Hallelujah. How many of you are thinking about the Old Testament when the priest had to wake up every morning and make incense to the Lord? Amen. There's a certain smell that God, amen, is waiting for from his good people. The ones that he redeemed. The ones who have tasted and seen of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. He doesn't do that just so you can have a good day. He does it so he can get a whiff of that beautiful aroma of worship and praise and adoration and thanks. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, that when we were worshiping a few moments ago, I believe God was coming around. Oh, I like the way that smells. I like the way that Brody worships. I like the way that Sister Lydia lifts her hands. I like the way that smells. There's a sweet aroma, Brother Jerome. There's a sweet aroma, Brother Caleb. Amen. When you lift your hands and say, thank you. Oh, let's do it right now. Let's thank him. Hey, don't cut yourself short of one of the senses of Pentecost. Yes, I see it. I see it on your faces. I see the gratitude. I see the thanksgiving. Woo! Sister Tori, I'm about done. Come on. Hey, hallelujah. I think the Lord's coming around. Hey, what's that smell? I think I smell a Pentecostal people. I think I smell some worship. I think I sense that sweet savor that I love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the five senses of Pentecost. Amen. Don't leave it all. Amen. Friend, go get a hold of it all. Amen. Don't just be satisfied with just a partial experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. I want to finish this. Verse 15 goes on to say, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. We are the sweet savor of Christ. You know, Jesus went on the cross as a sacrifice and an offering. The man Christ Jesus was the lamb that was sacrificed unto God. And through that sacrifice, he made our worship smell good. Hallelujah. Amen. Through that sacrifice, Jesus made our worship smell good to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Roman time, I believe, amen, some other scholars agree. I don't know of 100% certainty, and I'm not preaching this as 100% doctrine. This is just, amen, an application, if you will, tonight. Amen. But when Paul was writing, amen, to these Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 and 15 and 16, let's read 16. Because it's relevant. It says, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? On one hand, to some, it doesn't smell very good. Some might look in a funny expression might creep across their face. What in the world is that? But to others, it also smells good. I wonder what's being said here. I think many of you could probably get to where I'm going already faster than I can. If you can, do you want to come up here and preach it? I can take a break. I don't know about you, but I've been in those services, and I've seen, and perhaps I've been among those who looked across the aisle and said, what are they doing? They're in the flesh. That's not the spirit. And perhaps it was me that was in the flesh. They were just thanking their God who caused them to triumph. And I'm over here questioning their triumph. Questioning the sincerity of their thanksgiving. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm talking about Pentecost. How many got a thanksgiving, a testimony, amen, a gratitude, amen, to give to God for what he's done for you? You can begin to play. Amen. In ancient times, around the time that Paul would have lived and the Corinthian church, they would have been familiar with this process as well. There is this concept of Roman triumph processions. And there were a few requirements. It got a little bit out of hand there for a while, but near the end of the Republic, of the Roman Republic, they instituted some requirements. First of all, they required that it was a commander who was a magistrate or an imperium or one with military authority. Examples that I saw were a consul or a praetor, somebody with governing authority. Somebody who had been endowed with authority from somebody higher up. They were permitted to lead in the Roman triumph procession. And they couldn't just do it in the old time. They wanted to, but their victory had to be significant. They had to have at least, most of the time, they had to have at least 5,000 deaths of the enemy in a single campaign. And furthermore, the war had to be a foreign enemy. Couldn't be a civil conflict. Couldn't be an argument. I'm not going to go there. I just let you interpret it however you want to. Had to be a foreign enemy. Had to be somebody opposing the imperial power. They had to be somebody who was opposing the Roman government. And the campaign had to conclude with the enemy being completely subdued, totally subdued, and the Roman territory secure. So the victory had to be absolute, in other words. It couldn't be like this, we kind of beat them. And then they come back. But it had to be complete. And furthermore, we get into the procession part of things. They had to bring soldiers and they had to bring loot. They had to bring spoil with them from the battlefield. And they would be a part of the procession. I want you to keep note of that. The triumphator would be expected to wear a certain garment. They couldn't just wear anything they chose, but they had to put on a certain color. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they, as they began, it wasn't just the triumphator, the one who led in the charge, but it was also his soldiers, the ones that he trained with, the ones that he led in campaign. It wasn't just one person getting the victory. It was everybody that was involved in the battle. The triumph was a grand parade through Rome, following a traditional route that ended at the Temple of Jupiter Optimus Maximus on the Capitoline Hill. It would typically begin outside of Rome in an area where all of those soldiers that he's fighting with were training. I've got all kinds of notes. I'm trying to speed up through this stuff because I want to get to where we're going. This is where they started in a place where it all began. It started in a place where they were doing drills with their brothers and in arms. It started in a place where they learned how to fight. That's where it started. And then it ended up at the beginning, in front of the Temple of Jupiter. And all along the route, from that beginning moment, from the place where they learned how to fight, all the way to the Temple of Jupiter, they had Roman priests and temple attendants that would walk and march alongside them with a fragrance. And it became known that fragrance was the smell of victory. And when they were marching, that got into their senses. Oh, hallelujah. And it happened. I was doing a little bit of reading on this, and I read one statement. I don't know how true this is, but the man said he could imagine that men who had participated in one of these parades before, amen, could remember the fragrance when he was out on the battlefield, when he was out there fighting. He would remember the last time victory. He remembered the smell of victory from the last time. And some of you who know of strong senses, you could probably imagine how that's possible. Amen. So for the soldiers, for the fighters, for the warriors, it was a smell of victory. But for those prisoners that were on the cart, it was a smell of death. And so I'd like to just submit to this church tonight that one of the senses of Pentecost is the smell of victory. It's the sweet smell of victory. And I'm talking about true, conclusive, absolute, complete victory. That when you wake up on a Monday morning, you remember the smell. And if you don't know what that smells like, then friend, I would invite you to come on down to the parade. Come get a taste of what it's like. Come get a whiff of what sweet victory smells like. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you that when God sets you free, you are free indeed. No more chains. Hallelujah. That territory is secure. You don't have to go and fight that fight again. You don't have to go out and defeat that enemy again. You don't have to go out and swing that sword again. I'm talking about real apostolic conclusive victory. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If any of you are counting, keeping count, you can remain standing. I'm getting finished. You're keeping count. We've only got to four. There's only one more. One more. Anybody been in an apostolic service like we're in right now? And you had that special Holy Ghost feeling? When in a moment, when you thought everything was gone, you didn't have any other options, you just stepped out in faith. So I don't feel anything right now, but I see other people who are worshiping. I see it on their countenance. I see glory. I see God's spirit moving. So in spite of the fact that I don't feel anything, I'm just going to take a chance. Hallelujah. And friend, it's in a moment like that that you're going to receive a feeling, amen, that's incomparable to any drug, to any substance that you could ever consume. Hallelujah. Paul told the, spoke in Acts chapter 17, verse 27. He said, they that should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. If you've never been, amen, in a Pentecostal service, amen, like this, if you've never had that experience, I say you ought to try it. Step into the parade, amen, get a whiff, amen, all taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. You don't have to take that battle home with you tonight. I feel like praising him. I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise his name. I feel like sing hallelujah. Can I get some helpers to sing?